Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, I'd like to welcome to Barbecue Nation, Ben Tisch. Ben comes to us from London today. So it's going to be a phone interview extraordinaire. By the way, this is Barbecue Nation, if I didn't say that. Ben was the chef director at the Salt Yard Group in the UK. Ben was with the Salt Yard Group for about 11 years and is now doing some things on his own. He's got a new book out called Grill, Smoke, and Barbecue, and it's full of good advice and tremendous recipes. This is just not your brisket and chicken leg book. Ben, welcome to Barbecue Nation.
Thank you, JT. Pleasure to be on.
Ah, I appreciate it. What prompted you to write this book? I mean, you know, there's the obvious answers, like I always wanted to write a book, and I know it's not really your first endeavor at this, but to do what you did in this book takes a little doing.
Sure. So how it came about, it was very loosely inspired by one of the restaurants that I at Salt Yard Group called MB Yard, where we decided to create a restaurant in the centre of London that used predominantly charcoal and wood to cook over, so essentially a barbecue restaurant. But we wanted to do it in the style of food that I like to cook, which is European flavours, Spain, Italy, kind of Portugal, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking some US barbecue techniques, the smoking and various bits, but adding a real kind of European / Mediterranean feel to it. So we created the restaurant around that, which was very successful. And then off the back of that came the book. However, I wanted the book to be very much for the home barbecuer or the home cook.
Sure.
UK barbecuers are still a way behind US barbecuers in terms of how they operate. It's getting there, though, I have to say. Over the past 3 or 4 years, barbecuing's kind of got into its stride in the UK in terms of people experimenting a bit more. They're properly barbecuing as opposed to just throwing a sausage on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
They're understanding how to use the barbecue. You know, put a lid on. You know, create that oven, that convection effect. Very, very basic things in the barbecue world, but in the UK we've been slow learners on that respect. So I wanted to put a smattering of how to barbecue properly in the book, but then really change the flavours and what you can cook on there. You've seen the book and you've seen the recipes. So you know European flavours, but you know there's desserts on there. I put a chapter for breakfast because I think nothing better than barbecuing on a nice summer's morning, and getting your breakfast on there, and vegetables and fish. It's not just about meat.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was really to a couple of things you said there. How is the UK accepting, grilling and smoking? I mean, are their palates really changing over there? And I'm going to say something stereotypical, but the UK was never known for a lot of abundance of really great, great food, especially coming from an American, okay? I mean, it was, again, I'm not making fun, but it was bangers and mash and some things like that and Yorkshire pudding, and they were all fine, but they weren't really...
you're right. I'm not going to kind of argue with that. I mean, I think in terms of, if we're talking about food in general... and how the food world has moved in the UK.
Sure.
Particularly in cities and in London. I think London's really kind of hit its stride. You know, it's kind of, dare I say, it's on a par with kind of, New York, possibly Tokyo, in terms of groundbreaking, innovative restaurants. But a lot of those, you know, barbecuing and grilling and that world, that is incredibly popular over here at the minute. You know, there's lots of barbecue/grill restaurants in London and further afield. And it's kind of spreading out into the UK now, and people are taking barbecuing very seriously. And not just in terms of how I've laid my book out, but also, you know, there's, you know, it's become a popular culture at the minute. So I think it's due to these restaurants kind of appearing in London, you know, a bit of stuff that's been on TV. People are really taking it seriously.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, though, that we've kind of come full circle. You know, 300 years ago, pretty much everything was cooked over an open fire. And, you know, there were stone ovens and things like that, but the heat source was not gas or charcoal or propane or what have you. It was all fire. And, of course, you know, we progressed. We got technologies. We did all those wonderful things. But now we kind of are going back to more of our agrarian roots almost in loving this the flavor that comes with any type of outdoor cooking. I know in the book, you know, you have a lot of photos of you out cooking in the woods, so to speak.
Yeah.
And as a kid growing up on the West Coast of the United States, I spent a lot of time out in the woods on the farm and that type of thing. And it just looking at your book, it really brought back a lot of memories of a lot of things I did when I was a child.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two things. I think that, you know, you've nailed it. You know, we have come full circle from, and I think going back to very briefly about London, we'd hit a pinnacle, I think, in London of restaurants that were using, you know, the highest technology, you know, sous vide and all those things. And, you know, it kind of imploded. Now it's, and a lot of restaurants have gone back to basics with primitive, you know, primitive cooking skills.
Right.
Sorry, primitive cooking, you know, things like wood and charcoal that we've talked about. But it appeals on two levels. Yes, obviously the flavour of charcoal and wood is absolutely fantastic. But it's also getting stuck in and just kind of getting in touch with your primal instincts, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great way to cook, you know, and it just makes you feel like you're kind of almost, you know, without sounding cliche, but one with nature.
You see that a lot here. Even a lot of the pizzerias and different things have switched from kind of gas or propane type, you know, a fuel source into the ovens are more open. They can obviously cook more things in them than just a pizza. And I'm just using that as one example.
Yeah, sure.
But in a lot of the restaurants now, they're having, you know, the open flame. And as you walk through the restaurant, you can actually see the chefs working on your food in there. And that's really added a lot to the ambiance of the restaurants.
It's exactly the same. I mean, you know, a lot of my colleagues in the restaurant world, you know, as I said before, you know, it was all about having a sous vide and this technology, that type of technology. Now they've all got, even if they've got limited extract or whatever, they've all got a big green egg. You know, the big green egg.
Oh, sure.
Kind of built into their cooking range. So, you know, they're offering three or four dishes on their menu that is essentially been barbecued. And that's happening all over the UK now in good restaurants, which I think is really interesting.
I'm going to be kind of a bit cheeky on this one, but how would you cook haggis on a barbecue?
How would you cook haggis on a barbecue?
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I guess, putting me slightly on the spot, but I wouldn't put it straight on the grill, it would have to be kind of an indirect heat,
yeah.
I guess.
So yeah.
You'd maybe pop it on a wire rack on top of the tray, get your barbecue set with some, you know, some charcoal and then pop it on the side, close the lid, and give it, depending on the size of your haggis. So I'm not a haggis expert. I do like it, though. I have eaten haggis, and I do like it.
I've tried it.
Do you like it?
It wouldn't be my first choice, but it also, I wouldn't, if I was hungry, I wouldn't turn it away. So let's put it that way.
Exactly. I mean, there's, as with everything, there's good and bad.
So, yeah, yeah.
you can get good stuff. But yes, going back to how you cook it, at the side of the, you know, quite at the side there, close the lid and give it, I don't know, half an hour or so and get a bit of smoke on it. I think it'll be delicious.
There you go. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes with Ben Tisch, the author from London today of Grill, Smoke, and Barbecue. And I'll be grilling Ben a little more about his skills right after this. Don't go away.
I heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. A little information for you here. If you would like to email us, you can do it at Barbecue Nation, that's BBQNation@KXL.com, or you can send us recipes@KXL.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. It's Barbecue Nation /with JT. And we'd like to say hello to some of our affiliates on our network this morning. News 570 KVI in Seattle and KACI in Hood River in the Dalles. We're going to welcome back Ben Tisch, talking about his new book, Grill, Smoke, and Barbecue. Ben hails from the UK. Like I said, he's in London today. What's your favorite thing to do on the grill, Ben?
My favorite thing to do on the grill? Well, we were chatting earlier on. I mean, I do like to kind of get just for the experience as opposed to specific food, I do like to get breakfast, you know, get a barbecue out kind of nice and early. You know, if it's a nice morning and get the barbecue going, and that sets the tone for the day. You know, it's a kind of a constant barbecue session all day. But other stuff I like to do in more in terms of food is being a British, and I like my Sunday lunch. It's a big kind of joint of meat that I will either cook all the way on the barbecue, so a rib of beef or a core of beef, start the barbecue up, you know, and get that going. Or the other thing I tend to do is put the meat on a very low heat in the oven overnight on a Saturday night. So like a rib of beef, I put it on, I don't know, 60 degrees, something like that. Put it on all overnight so it's kind of it's rare in the morning. And then give it an hour on the barbecue just to get it really kind of up to medium rare and charred and all that flavors going on. So I think that's something I really like to do.
That sounds pretty good. I mean, we do a lot of those types of things. I'll tell you how dedicated I am to barbecue is when I got married, and this was quite a long time ago, the next day, because we lived on a ranch, the next day a lot of the guests stayed over. We fixed them breakfast outside. Of like ham and eggs and Dutch oven biscuits and those kinds of things, and it was a kick, and I think the people really liked it. But
yeah, I think it's great. I think doing that, in the UK, you know, I mean, doing breakfast on a barbecue is really unusual. You know, it's kind of talking about how the UK is getting on the barbecue thing, but you know, it's very I can't believe you're doing breakfast on a barbecue. But yeah, I mean, why not? You know, I mean, it's it's about the flavor and the experience. I think it's great.
Hey, living on a ranch and living way, I don't live on a ranch anymore, but when I did growing up, our power would go out. We have very severe storms here at times in the Pacific Northwest, not unlike England. And the power would go out, and we had three fireplaces in our house, and my father had installed a swinging arm that you could cook with a Dutch oven. That arm would, swing out, and you could hang the Dutch oven on it. And then we'd always bring up the barbecues. And so we were never, like, eating cold food. We always had hot food. Yeah. So
exactly. Yeah. You've got fire. You've got the means to light it, and you can get cooking, definitely.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you about your influences here. We'll start with, like, the Spanish influence. How is the Spanish cooking? Because you've studied for a long time, kind of conventional culinary techniques and then like that. So how is the Spanish influencing your barbecuing techniques?
Well, I guess, so yes, you're right. You know, I kind of went through the traditional route of the chef my age, which was, to kind of cook classic,
sure,
I guess classic French coach and so on. But I think the turning point for me was, I'll talk about Spain in a second, but was actually discovering Italian cooking. And I went to work at a restaurant and eventually became head chef there, which was in St. James's in London, which was, you know, again, very simple food. And a lot of it was cooked over a char grill at the time. Mm-hmm. So quite inspired by Tuscany, really. And I like the simplicity of it and I love the flavour. So I explored Italy quite a lot and fell in love with that. And then off the back of that, I started up with Salt Yard Group, which is on my CV there. And the angle for that was, let's explore Spain. So it was partially Italy, but they wanted to explore Spain as well. And back in the day, this is like 12 years ago, there weren't really very many Spanish restaurants in London or the UK for that matter. In fact, the ones that there were kind of chain ones that would do, you know, tortilla
right.
croquettes, you know, and not very well. So it wasn't really a talked about cuisine in the UK. So we thought, like, well, let's try and, you know, get Spain, make it cool. So I spent some time out there and did a bit of research, bought some books, and came back and made it, you know, and we opened this restaurant and it hit the ground running. You know, people were really interested in it because we used great ingredients. We went direct to source, got the best chorizo we could. Not, you know, people in the UK were used to really cheap chorizo. We got the best stuff. And it kind of went from there. But then as I got further into it, I began to fall more and more in love with the Spanish cuisine and exploring the regions of Spain, which is incredible, as with Italy and France, I suppose, really. But the food is very different from region to region. And got more and more into it, and then discovered, I suppose, the Basque Country, which...
That's wonderful food.
Oh, it's amazing food, but very big on grilling.
Yes.
And, you know, it's in their culture to grill. You know, it's not like we barbecue, and not even like you barbecue on the stage. You know, every house has a grill out in the backyard, built into a brick, I don't know, whatever, a brick kind of alcove.
Mm-hmm.
And they will, you know, whatever night, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, the barbecue night or it's summer or whatever, they will use that grill as much as they would their oven or their six burner in the kitchen. You know, just because it's an extension of the kitchen. I was fascinated by this. And then there's grill restaurants in the Basque Country, which I found some brilliant ones, in particular Etxebarri. I don't know if you know that place. Are you familiar with Etxebarri?
Yes.
The Basque, yeah.
Yes.
Which you know, takes grilling to a completely new level. The guy who's been cooking in this restaurant for 50 years, it's his own restaurant, he builds his own grills, makes his own charcoal, so on and so forth. And it was a big turning point for me to do that. And that really kind of summed up Spanish food for me.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And yeah, we have out here, of course, wide open ranges, and there's a lot of Basque sheep herders and stuff around. And I've worked with a couple of them and interviewed a few of them and, more importantly, ate a lot of their food. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to come back with Ben Tisch and talk some more about his influences on and why he did the book Grill, Smoke, and Barbecue from downtown London, right here on Barbecue Nation. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Dr. Dave here on the Radio Northwest Network. And today we've got Ben Tisch with us talking about his new book, Grill, Smoke, and Barbecue. Really quickly, again, if you want to email us, it's Barbecue Nation. That's bbqnation@kxl.com. Or if you want to send us a recipe, it's recipes@kxl.com. Don't forget, we are giving away those little stainless steel smoker boxes to help your gas grill turn into a smoker. Thanks to our friends at Smokehouse Products. All you got to do is send us a picture and a recipe, and if we select it, you get the prize. And it's, I'll even mail it to you. How about that? So, Ben, we talked a little bit in the last segment about the influences, especially the Spanish cooking. And, the Italy's right there next to Spain, basically, and their influences on the open fire cooking over the years is pretty significant, too.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, kind of Tuscany and the neck of the woods, you know, again, it's very similar. They have a, you know, it's an extension of their kitchen. They have, you know, it's just it's as much, yeah, as much as having a, you know, your oven or your hob, you know, they have a grill to cook on, and because they, you know, they like the flavor. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I find it really, really good. Like we were saying off the air, I have a, being in the Northwest, we have a tremendous amount of seafood. And most people here, when they think about seafood on the grill, they think about, well, like salmon. Salmon's wonderful. And but we have scallops and crab and all kinds of other fish besides salmon. And so about the only thing I haven't been able to perfect, and I don't think I ever will on a grill, is the what we have razor clams up here, and they're kind of rubbery to begin with. And I'm not sure that anything would makes them not rubbery. And I've been eating them since I was a kid, and I love the flavor, but...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think probably the only way to probably not do them rubbery is some kind of technological sous vide method. But yeah. I agree. I think they're always rubbery no matter how you cook them.
Yeah, no, it's anyway, your suggestions for cooking seafood.
So seafood, we're talking fish and shellfish, right?
Right.
So I think you're right. I think, you know, shellfish, so scallops, lobster, so on. I think, you know, they're kind of made to be cooked on the barbecue because you've kind of got a double whammy, if you like, because the shell, if you cook it in the shell, the scallops, scallop cooked in the shell, obviously, the meat's very delicate, so the shell, what the shell does is protects the shellfish, it protects the actual meat of what you're cooking from too harsh a heat. But
right.
It also, it creates direct heat into the meat as well. So it just cooks perfectly. So I'd recommend cooking any shellfish in the shell. You know, things like scallops. I mean, I think scallops are fantastic. You know, scallops in the shell, get some kind of butter in there. Maybe, I believe there's one recipe in there in the book with mushrooms that you can pop in the shell as well. So if you've got a big hand-dyed scallop, pop that on the barbecue, put some butter, knobs of butter around it, season it, and then some finely sliced mushrooms and so on in there as well. So it all just cooks at the same time in the shell. You've got a receptacle for cooking. I think that's fantastic. And what other stuff? I mean, a crab's brilliant on there. Again, in the shell, just crack the claws and so on. Give it a base with some chili sauce or some lemon juice and olive oil emulsion as you're cooking, just baste the crab. I just think, you know, that's the smoke and the charred flavors works really well with that, with the delicate sweet flesh. I think it's great.
I know your recipe here for your scallops in the shell with the wild mushrooms and the horseradish and all that. I like I like colorful food. When I do my TV stuff, and I'm sure you do the same thing, if you're presenting a pot roast with brown gravy, that's not really overly photogenic.
You kind of eat first with your eyes, don't you? So yeah, I think it's always good to get a bit of color in there and just kind of make it exciting. I mean, it just starts the process of enjoyment, doesn't it? You know, if you're looking at it and you're halfway home basically. So yeah, lots of vibrant kind of colors and flavors, and you know, if you use the seasons as well, you often. Now I'm big on seasons. There's a lot of chefs are now, but you know, cooking with the seasons and this time of year here is great. You know, there's such colourful, vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cooking lots of asparagus on the barbecue at the minute.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I love I love the asparagus, and sometimes I'll put asparagus and peppers together. Sometimes I'll put asparagus and wrap it in some prosciutto or something. Right. It's just fun things, and I use sun-dried tomatoes, you know, lots of green, fresh herbs. When you're doing it with the seafood and some garlic and some butter, and oh my God, you're making me hungry. So
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's good.
Time for dinner soon, definitely.
We serve a lot of lamb out here. We there's a lot of, the sheep industry, I should say, is very large in the Northwest. Most people would probably, you know, pan fry, or they would roast in their ovens a rack of lamb or something, but how can we do it on the grill better?
So I suppose I mean you can do all that on a grill. You know, you can get a steak, a lamb leg steak or a rump or whatever, and grill it fairly quick over the coals. But I think my preferred thing is, in fact, probably one of my favourite things to do on a barbecue is a shoulder of lamb. Leg's good, but shoulder of lamb, low and slow. So give it a good marinade. Choice is horrendous, but, you know, some spices. I think lamb, really nice fatty shoulder of lamb with cumin, garlic, smoked paprika, olive oil, some vinegar in the marinade. Rub the shoulder of lamb all over with that. Give it a good few hours marinade, and then low and slow on the barbecue at the side, probably 4 or 5 hours, something like that, until it's kind of, and on the bone as well.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the bone in.
Yes.
For maximum flavor, and also that conducts the heat through. But shoulder of lamb cooked on a barbecue, and so it's falling off the bone, and it's starting to caramelize, and the outside's got all kind of, you know, crispy and kind of sticky, unctuous. I think that's probably one of the finest things you can have from a barbecue.
It's, you know, as we would say out here, it's got to have a nice bark on it.
It's got to have a nice bark on it. Exactly that. Yeah. Exactly. Another thing we like, we're getting quite a lot into in the UK at the minute, is goat meat.
Uh-huh.
Just as a kind of a, you know, similar to lamb, if you like, but it's got a much, you know, depending on what age you buy the animal, it could be much fresher, less cloying, and it's kind of a healthy, sustainable meat. We're using lots of goat in the UK at the minute.
When I was in Saudi Arabia, they would invite you to what they called a goat grab, and because they use their hands to serve it, they just peel it off the carcass after it's cooked,
yeah,
and do that. And so that took a bit of doing to get used to. But I, you know, hey, when you're hungry, you can usually overlook a lot of things. That's what
you
I
definitely can. Yeah. Just get your head stuck in there straight away. Definitely.
So Ben, what was the greatest pleasure for you in writing Grill Smoke Barbecue?
The greatest pleasure. I guess doing a lot of the testing of the recipes, I would say, but we really created some very new stuff. I think, you know, the desserts on the barbecue, for example, and, you know, a lot of the recipes were created for the book, so there was lots of trial and error. Luckily, I had a few of my chefs around to kind of help me and pick up the pieces. And we did a lot of different locations as well, which I really enjoyed. You know, a lot of it was done in my back garden. I'm lucky to have a kind of a nice big garden. But also, we went to a local seaside town. We went to a forest. We went all over the place to kind of just show people you can kind of barbecue anywhere. And also, with just very basic kits. You know, we didn't use any, the most advanced, we didn't use any advanced equipment. We didn't use a big green egg or anything like that. It was all very basic barbecue stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process was a real joy, actually, I have to say. I think the locations and the, just creating as we were going along, I have to say. I mean, it wasn't kind of, I got it all written, thought like this and this. It was a creative process. And there was a few kind of turns and corners as we went along. But, yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable.
Very good. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back with Ben Tisch right after this on the Radio Northwest Network and Barbecue Nation. Don't go away.
I let it fall.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. Ben is laughing, off the air here, and we'll tell you why in a second. We've been talking with Ben Tisch from Grill Smoke and Barbecue. That's the name of his book. Ben has spent a lot of time in the culinary business, and he's done some cool things with this book, and I really recommend it because you can get out there, and he, like he has said in the previous segments, he doesn't use overly sophisticated barbecue stuff. I mean, he's not packing around a $6,000 grill in his backpack to go do these things. And so that's one of the things I found was very cool about it. But one of the most important things, Ben, is barbecue and booze. Tell us about that. We've got about 4 minutes or so.
Barbecue and booze. Okay, so I suppose the picture that conjures up is man with beer, stooped over barbecue, tossing his sausages or whatever around with a beer. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with a beer, but I just think there's so much more interesting stuff you can do with. Incorporating the barbecue incorporating the flavors of the barbecue into what you're drinking. Obviously, there's a whole kind of wine element to it, and certain things work with certain different types of wine. But I love drinking cocktails with the barbecue, and grilling pieces of fruit and so on, and putting that into my drinks. If it's orange, blood orange or regular orange, or kind of things like peaches or grilled strawberries, putting those into cocktails as well. Just to kind of it's delicious. It just carries on the whole kind of theme of the barbecue. And I just not just down to kind of having a beer. I think there's so much more you can do with that. I don't know what you think.
I think you've just given me some brilliant ideas, actually.
Yeah. And I think, there's other stuff you can do. It's infused. Other stuff that's definitely possible is to kind of infuse things like gin and so on with some kind of, smoked pieces of thyme and things like that.
Sure.
There's a world out there, really. And at the restaurant that's kind of loosely inspired the book and beyond. A lot of the cocktails there, we use a lot of smoking in the cocktails. So we smoke ice. You get a smoked ice cube in your drink, and then we'll smoke a piece of wood, and they'll kind of infuse things like Negronis and things like that. So it's just carrying on the theme all the way through.
I think you could do that. I mean, I'm a big summertime. I'm a big fruit guy, so... Like some watermelon or...
Watermelon's amazing on the barbecue.
Yeah.
If you've got super hot barbecue, watermelon is amazing.
Do that in a little vodka and, maybe some other little accoutrements that go along with that. I think it would make a lovely afternoon. Might not get too much done, but you'd have a great afternoon,
Yeah, you would, You wouldn't be able to remember much of it, but it would be good.
Well, that was always my theory. If I couldn't remember it, it was not.
It hit the spot.
Yes, I think it was Richard Harris or one of your British actors that went out and was drinking with Michael Caine. Anyway, when Caine was first getting started, and Michael Caine said something about, God, what happened last night? And Richard Harris said, "Best not to know, and don't ask. Just keep going."
That sounds good. That sounds my kind of night. So.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. To me, the whole thing is about you can only be disappointed in barbecue or in cooking in general if you're not trying hard enough. Meaning to me that, I may not be able to make crepe Suzette very well, but I'm willing to give it a go. And I would be more disappointed if I didn't try. And that's the same thing with all my grilling and outdoor cooking. I want to give it a shot.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you've got enjoying it as well. Right? I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, if you're enjoying the process, then it's worth it. And it will always be better if you're enjoying it. And giving it your, as you say, giving it your absolute best.
Right.
I think. Hopefully the book Grill Smoke Barbecue on that front will just show people, the kind of the breadth of what you can of what you can do, And I don't know how it's gonna appeal to US buyers, but hopefully they're gonna get a little bit of inspiration out of it.
Well, I'm gonna write about it on the blog and do some other things. So
Thanks
I think
very
it's
much.
I think it's a great book. It comes from a little different approach, and I like that. Anyway, Ben Tisch, thank you very much for being with us today, Ben. I really appreciate take the time. And listen, folks, don't forget our little motto here is turn it, don't burn it. So please do that. You can check out more of my stuff on thecowboycook.com or grillingatthegreen.net. So for Dr. Dave and myself and Ben Tisch, we wish you all a good weekend. Take care, everybody.